This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1.
Welcome in the next 60 minutes. Everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. Tonight, the Dons hope to continue their fine run of home form with a victory over champion Celtic on Sunday afternoon. We're with the boss and players in just a moment. News from Celtic Park as well, plus the rest of the Scottish Premiership previewed in full. We'll get your thoughts and there's a chance to win your way into Pittodrie for the big game in the next few minutes. And we're down the divisions and across the country for the full domestic lineup, rugby and more to come on Friday Sport. It's all here, right now.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1 with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
First, as always, to the boss, Derek McInnes, excited at the prospect of playing the champions this weekend.
Looking forward to it. I think almost a full house and maybe I'll be by the time kick-off comes round, game live on TV. In fact, we're on a decent run at the minute, you know, and being at home, we're looking forward to it. So it's got all the ingredients here, I'm certainly looking forward to it, and the players are no different.
Yeah, the boys are really on a roll. It's a question of just keeping the momentum going now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we've worked hard to go in the type of run that we're on. You know, we've shown different sides of our capabilities within that run, you know, whether it's scoring goals or whether it's defending well in the last few games, certainly. And there's a lot to like about us, certainly, in the last few while, but you know, all those qualities that we've shown, we'll need to make sure they're really evident on Sunday if we're going to get a result, because, you know, we're against a team who are firm favourites to win the league and who are a very good side and are on a decent run themselves, Celtic at the minute. So we've got to make sure that we try and bring it all together and bring a strong performance.
And no goals conceded in the last three games, that's important as well.
Yeah, it's very encouraging. I think that, you know, there was that hanging over us. You know, we didn't have as many clean sheets as we'd wanted this season, but the last three games shows what can be done. I think there's been real awareness from everyone within the team, and like I've said before, it's not, the emphasis isn't just on goalkeeper and defenders when that, you know, and it's the same with scoring goals. There's an emphasis on everybody to take full responsibility for scoring goals and the full responsibility for keeping the ball out of our net, and I think we've seen that. You know, we've kept opposition in the last three games, opportunities to a bare minimum, and that pleases me no end, and hopefully that's something we can maintain.
Evening, you're on North Sound 1's Friday Sport. I'm John Mellis. Joining me tonight, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway. Derek sounds upbeat, confident, determined, and I suppose he's got every right to be, given the last few weeks, pointing as he did there to the clean sheets in recent games, Dave. Nothing to fear, everything to look forward to.
I think we've rarely had a better chance of having a go, a right good go at Celtic, bearing in mind they only came back from Romania today. You know, you see teams in the past, including Celtic, they've not been at their best in the immediate aftermath, and certainly the preparation from the Dons' perspective has been the way that the manager would like it. The preparation from Celtic's point of view, it's been a lot of travelling. They've got to come up again tomorrow from Glasgow. So, yeah, you know, there's no doubt that over the course of 90 minutes they will start to feel it. So as long as Aberdeen play to their potential and they win the individual battles, as we always say, then I see no reason, and it'll come as a huge surprise that I will be predicting an Aberdeen victoire.
I think I might be as well, maybe.
Well, we'll see later on. There is an aspect threatening to overshadow the prospect of a good football match, though, and that's the situation following the racial abuse of Shea Logan by Alexander Toneff, resulting in a 7-match ban, which Celtic are appealing against. Now, he's the boss on that one again.
I've got to remind myself here, you know, Shea was the one that had the offence on him, you know, put on him, and, you know, I think sometimes that can be forgotten a bit. We can't decide or dictate what Celtic do, but from my point of view, his performances have been good since the last Celtic game. He has been excellent. You know, we're talking about clean sheets in the last few games, and he's been excellent in that. So, you know, Shea will be absolutely fine. I've got total trust that he'll come in and give us his usual solid performance. We haven't made a statement as a club. You know, we just let the process go. But I was asked about it post-match at Ross County, and I feel as though, like I said, we feel Shea was vindicated, and we've gave our full support. He's got the full support of everybody at the club, as we would any employee who we felt was a victim of abuse, and he's got full support of everybody in the dressing room. So, like I say, I think there's a lot to look forward to in terms of the game. I think we should all really be trying to concentrate on that and try to highlight that and let the process be finalised, because with the appeal, it's still going to be ongoing.
A couple of things from that comment, Dave. One, the boss has total faith in Shea's strength of character, his ability in the park, and not to let anything from that affect him. Two, he's keen to move away from that chat towards the prospect of the game itself, which I can understand. And three, I always get the feeling when someone like this comes along, the media, and I'm thinking more along the lines of the press rather than any other format, take whatever situation is potentially volatile that could be manipulated or sensationalised to good effect in terms of shifting papers. That's not to belittle the situation in any way, but the point is, if it wasn't this, which is ready-made for them, they'd be flying around trying to churn something else up in this week before the game. It's come full circle now to the point that if you go to any of the Dons chat boards, they believe Celtic fans think they've been wronged by us. And for the media, that's job done, isn't it?
Yeah, although I think a number of Celtic fans actually are not happy with their own club, the way that they've handled this, and are disappointed that that they have gone to appeal. You know, and again, what the appeal is trying to achieve, unless there's new evidence, which I'm not aware of, I really don't know. As far as Shea is concerned, yeah, and to go back to the stoking up the game beforehand, that's part, always has been part and parcel, and you're right, they would find something else. It's been easy for them. They've not had to look anywhere to get the potential controversy. The one person out of all this who will be completely unfazed is Shea himself. Mm. He's played, as the manager said, there's been 9 games since the Celtic game where the incident took place, and he's just got on with his job. That's what he wants to do, and I don't think he will be in the least bit fazed by it on Sunday. And I'm sure the comments that were made by Scott Brown and Ronnie Dyler, which again the manager said, you know, it's wrong for them to say that because they don't know. Nobody knows, you know, other than the players who were there, the two players themselves. But what it will do, I'm quite sure, is make sure if our guys needed any additional incentive, which I'm sure they didn't, then they got it from these comments. So it's important that I think it will be a bit of a powder keg atmosphere. These games always are.
Yeah, they would be anyway.
I'll do my best.
Yeah, but I do think that the manager will be making sure that it's so important that our team keeps their discipline, because it would be very easy to let feelings get the better. But as I say, nobody has any doubt that Shea will be absolutely fine for come 12:30 Sunday afternoon.
I think it's important to note that, you know, this decision was not made on a whim. It was made after a 5-hour hearing. Mm. You know,
a 5-hour hearing, which, if I'm right, I think happened the morning after the Hamilton Cup game.
It did,
is that right?
Indeed, yes.
So, well, that's the reason that Tony Docherty was in press,
yep,
for the last game, is because Derek and Shea and club representatives had gone down the road to Glasgow immediately after that match of the Hamilton Cup tie to represent the club.
Indeed.
In this hearing. I always think Derek comes across really professional in these aspects, which is something that I wouldn't necessarily point towards Celtic in this instance. It seems misjudged.
It does. There's everybody seems to say Celtic are, you know, almost trying to turn it around as though they're the victims in this situation. And as the manager quite rightly pointed out, just to remind anybody that needs reminding, and Aberdeen, anybody connected with Aberdeen doesn't need reminded, you know, Shea was the party who was wronged in this instance. And, you know, Shea's handled himself really well, and the manager, I think, has handled himself really well. But the main point he's getting across, everybody at the club, 100% behind Shea, 100% behind the fact that he had a legitimate complaint. The other player was found guilty, and it's just unfortunate that it's still dragging on. It should have been done and dusted by now.
I don't want to linger on this. I do have one last question. You mentioned that, not that it'd be required, but it might be a form of additional incentive to the Dons players going out on Sunday. Could it act like that for Celtic?
Possibly. That's what I'm saying. That's why I think I think there will be a bit of extra spice to this one with all that's gone on. And as I say, we don't really need anything extra to get the players up for it. And of course, the supporters. And I think that's what we're... with Celtic having their allocation cut, we'll come on to the fans, obviously. So I think that's where our fans have got such a huge role to play. Sunday lunchtime sometimes, as we know, can be a bit, take a while, a slow burner to get going, but we've really got to get really the noise levels from the word go. That's your job, John. So you get the blame if we don't manage that.
You got to play some appropriate pre-match music, John.
Hey, listen,
the punters going.
Listen. You know I don't play the music. That's not me. I'd have to have exceptionally long fingers to push the buttons.
Yeah.
Which are in a completely
Have a word, then.
I know a man.
You're an influential man.
And no, as once happened famously before these two teams played, no Jerry and the Pacemakers, please.
Thank you. To the match in hand, with regard to that defence, which has been so stingy in conceding goals most recently, and Don's captain throughout that period, Mark Reynolds.
I think, as you say, you can get caught up in it, and there's all everything happening away from the park, and the fans all be excited, and obviously the ticket allocation and stuff changed as well, so there's always a wee bit of added extras, but for us it's just about going out in 11v11 and trying to beat ourselves to go on the day. And I think if we go out and win our individual battles and we turn up and we play like we've played against them before, then there's no reason why we can't get the 3 points.
The team's been really solid in defence, 3 shutouts in a row. How pleasing is that to you as a defender?
No, it is very. I mean, it's something we've worked hard on over the last kind of month or so. I think last season we were kind of renowned for being a tough team to break down and tough to get goals against, and for a couple of weeks that wasn't happening, and it was starting to come about a common theme that we were losing goals too easy or too many mistakes, and it's something that we've worked hard on in training and we've managed to cut out, and hopefully we can continue that on Sunday.
And you and Big Ashton seem to be forming a good partnership in central defence.
No, we are. I mean, I think familiarity kind of is breeding there, and me and Russell are obviously very familiar with each other, in each other's games, and we've got a lot of game time together, and I think that's something that's kind of understated a lot. If you play a lot next to each other and you get used to each other's game, and you get more comfortable and you put in better performances. So I think we're getting to know each other's game, we're getting to rely on each other a bit more, we know each other's strengths and weaknesses, and that's putting for better performances for the both of us.
We'll hear from Ash Taylor shortly, actually, but on that defensive partnership between Reynolds and Taylor, it wasn't one that I was too keen on to begin with. Mike says as they've had more experience of playing together, they've formed a better understanding. Is that bond strong enough to keep out the likes of Player of the Month, John Guidetti?
Yes, I think it is, John. I mean, Big Ashton, I think, has just got stuck in. He's worked very hard just to concentrate on his game, and I think he has been improving steadily. Yeah, of course he's made a number of mistakes, but you know, he's a big honest guy and he's a good pro, and I think he's learning from his mistakes rather than going into hiding. I think he's done very well, and you know, Mark Reynolds, when he spoke to me earlier today, you know, he seemed very confident in Ashton Taylor's ability.
Something we forget, Ash is still, he's still a relatively young player in terms of being
just
a defender.
Turned 24,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. In terms of our defence, he's certainly young player.
Certainly young compared to us.
Yeah, well, there is that. This is North Sunderland's Friday Sport with the Dons right now in the official station of Aberdeen FC. And coming up, we'll hear from Celtic boss Ronnie Dyler. But first, how would you like to be at the game on Sunday? Courtesy of North Sunderland and the Dons, here's how. Get ready to call us up as soon as you know the answer to this question. I should probably have checked the actual official statistics before I wrote this question, but we'll see. The last time Celtic met Aberdeen at Pittodrie was last season in February, when the Dons ran out 2-1 victors. Name either scorer for the Dons that day. Was that an evening game? I think it was an evening game, wasn't it?
It was an evening game, yes.
Yeah, February 25th. The Dons last played Celtic at Pittodrie back in February in the league when we won 2-1. Name either Aberdeen scorer on that occasion. One of those was voted goal of the season, as I remember.
I was actually just watching it before we came on, just to give myself a wee...
On a loop.
I was watching it last night.
Yeah, pre-programme boost.
Amazing.
Our number, yes, if you want to be at that game, is Aberdeen 400-969. 01224-400-969. Good luck, and stay there for more on the big game directly ahead.
North Sound 1. This is Friday Sport with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
Next, he signed in the summer, and I don't think in his wildest dreams he would ever have thought he'd have got such a run of games in the first team to the point that he was this established so soon. Chatting to Red TV's Mal Panton at North Sunderland's Friday Sport, he's Aberdeen's Ash Taylor.
Everyone's looking forward, everyone's positive and looking forward to getting going on Sunday.
I think what's obviously important in a game like this that we're going with confidence, and I think we do that after the last three performances.
Yeah, of course, we've kept 3 clean sheets in a row and scored some goals, but created a lot of chances, so yeah, it's important that we go into the game with full of confidence.
It's incredible nowadays in football, actually, you go from, you know, these lows, you know, the crisis after the Hamilton game, and then you win a few games, everybody's in a high. As a player, how do you keep a level head? Do you ignore the press and that?
I don't know, you just do, you just keep a level head. It's just one of the things in football, you have highs and lows, but it's important that you don't take the lows too low and the highs too high, and just keep it going as you would.
Don't let the highs get too high, don't let the lows get too low. Sounds like a Kenny Rogers B-side. Okay, I've heard enough now, though.
Okay.
We've been hearing for the last couple of weeks that Russell's on the sidelines and approaching fitness. Even if he was completely ready to go, would the boss pitch him in at the expense of Ash Taylor ahead of a Celtic game?
Probably. Because I think if a fit Russell Anderson is still a huge asset, and he is one of the players that if he was fit, you could put him straight into the side. And also, if Russell says he's fit, he is fit. He's not one of these guys that would try and kid on just to get to back. But the bottom line is, he's still not back. It'll be after the international break at the earliest. But no, I think Ash Taylor, the last three games, and it would be hard on Ash if he was dropped, because he took a bit of flack, as we know, in the Hamilton game particularly. But I think he's been really outstanding over these three 1-0 victories. So thoroughly deserves to retain his place.
Yeah, his attitude has been absolutely terrific, and he's a no-nonsense defender. If he needs to get the ball out the park, just get it out the park.
And he can actually play a pass.
He can ping a long pass. Yeah. He certainly can.
He's got the World Cup pass. Long diagonal raking ball.
The World Cup pass is better than the pass back to the keeper pass at the moment. That's
I don't think we want to talk about that.
Incidentally, I don't know if you noticed the photo of Russell earlier this week posing with the pensioners and the wreath ahead of Remembrance Sunday, which is a great thing for the club to be doing, and just a novelty for Russell to be kneeling for a group shot and being the youngest one in the photo, I'd have thought.
To
the game, to the game, almost a side story now, but one that still tickles me all the same. Celtic with a reduced allocation, which I suppose in real terms was a slight financial risk for the club, throwing a guaranteed income away against that prospect of a possible one. But are we at sellout stage yet?
It's not that far away. There are limited tickets left. Some areas are completely full. So
come on, one last push.
Like to the Merkland, you've just got singles left.
Okay.
So any Johnny No Mates that wants to go along on Sunday, they're still...
Well, you sold that really well
there,
Dave. Well done. if you've got no mates and you don't want to stay
on
Sunday...
Here's what you can do this Sunday.
And so to the topic, which you can find in Aberdeen Mad, where Pataudry Goes Berserk kicks off with this post. Loads of extra incentives for fans to go on Sunday. We are on a good run. Celtic are away in Romania on Thursday night in the Europa League. We've reduced the away allocation from 4,000 plus down to 2,400. Great chance to beat an unprepared Celtic team due to be arriving back on Friday from Romania and then travelling up to Aberdeen on Saturday. Surely still get a big crowd for this game, even though it's a 12:30 Sunday game on TV. Dave's got your thoughts on that one as it developed.
Yeah, earlier in the week, Jimbo86 said, "I think we'll struggle to beat the crowd we had against Dundee United for the opener. That was 16,471. R Duncan 8, won't be a big crowd. Sunday 12:30 is the reason. This match on Sunday should have a big crowd," says Pac-Man 1903. "It says should be as good as sold out, regardless of the kickoff time. If we win, it's a huge result in terms of the league." Stupid 82, "I'm going to go for 16,500. Reduced away allocation is fantastic, but it will affect the overall size of the crowd." Pine Bovroman, "If this one was 3 p.m. Saturday, it would be close to sellout. I think you're still looking at round about 12:30 on a Sunday. Remembrance Sunday as well, not ideal for people living out with the city." SS Dawn, "If we don't get above 18,000, there's no point in the club reducing the allocation again. For Celtic fans, everyone has been wanting this. Now the club have done their part, we need to do ours." Back to Pataudry Goes Berserk. "The club should really be going all out and advertising in the EE and P&J with big front page adverts.
Come on.
They've got to do more to entice fans back, as much as stay away fans have got to make the effort to get along on Sunday." Buddy Chopper doesn't agree. "What a load of nonsense and waste of money that would be. If the current run of form is not enough to get their attention, then nothing will. As has been mentioned, the club has stuck a big middle finger up to the Celtic fans in reducing their allocation, so hopefully the fans will do their part." That's ours. "Love will tear us... Lovell will tear you apart." It's not a particularly good post, it's like the name. "Lovell will tear you apart." 14,375, roughly. Dandy Warhol, "Given they've cut Celtic's allocation and it's an important match, I hope everyone who can make the effort goes to the game rather than just watching it in the pub or on TV. Bertie Miller's shorts by using the online seats left calculator. There's only a couple of thousand tickets left to sell out with their allocation. I realise there may be accuracy issues, but an indication is of a decent crowd, which is true, of course. Gianni Versace, yep, ticket sales going extremely well. They also tend to pick up in the last couple of days. Excellent news. AFC 1983, previous two seasons we've had games at home to Celtic at this point in the season, had big crowds but failed to produce on the day. Time to stand up and deliver. No excuses this time. Let's put these in their places. Sunday is when we enter the title race.
These what?
Superb. I want their best team to be playing. No excuses. We're good enough to beat out any team that they put out. And finally, Mad Medic 73. This has the potential to be a sellout despite the TV and kickoff time. They're there for the taking after the result in Europe. And as Johnny Hayes said in the paper, we have nothing to fear. Keep Gaudetti quiet and we'll be fine. 2-1 the Dons.
OK, remember, if you want to take part in the weekly topic or poll, we'd love to hear your thoughts. But bear in mind, as you type them out in Aberdeen Mad, if you want them to go to air, you'll have to make them broadcastable, at the very least, easily edited without diminishing the content.
No sweary words.
Hence the blankety blanks that you'll sometimes hear on air.
You get a bleep machine.
You'll find... No, let's
It'd
not
be a busy machine.
It would blow it up, it'd just be a pile of smoke in the corner by the end of week one. You'll find these on Aberdeen Mad in any given week from about midweek onwards. Keep an eye out. And names that I enjoyed there included Dandy Warhol, the ever-present Gianni Versace always gets a mention, and Superb. Was that another username?
Superb.
Let's get on to that team selection for Sunday then with Predicted Eric and Dave the Elder. I will start with you.
That'll be me then. Scott Brown, Logan, Taylor, Reynolds, Considine, Pollitt, Jack and Flood, McGinn and Hayes, with obviously a fluid middle there, and Adam up front.
OK, and Dave Galloway?
Yeah, that's exactly the 11 I've got. I've gone for the 4-2-3-1 Brown, then Logan, Taylor, Reynolds, Considine, Jack and Flood sitting, McGinn, Pollitt and Hayes behind Rooney. But there is room for manoeuvre. I have seen, what I think is evidence that Derek is tweaking the 4-2-3-1, and I think that is probably what suits the squad best.
Mm. And you just know that journalists are absolutely itching for a Scott Brown v Scott Brown type headline, aren't they?
Indeed.
Anyway, let's hope that doesn't come to pass. Or at least if it does, that our Scott Brown
scores against their Scott Brown.
Scores against theirs, exactly.
Saves a penalty or something.
No, we don't want them getting a penalty.
No! Next, the one to watch. And Dave, the younger first this time.
The one to watch for me, it's Johnny Hayes. He's just been absolutely outstanding this season, and he's just the main man.
Okay.
Adam Rooney will get chances, there's no doubt about it, and we need our top scorer to be clinical, as I'm sure he will be. He's in double figures already this season. So Adam Rooney to convert the two chances that we get.
Well, surely more than that.
It's like a pre-trailer for the scoreline that Dave's about to predict. I actually don't normally do a one to watch, but I think Ryan Jack's going to be pretty influential.
Yeah, I'm disappointed that Ryan is not in the Scotland squad again.
Oh, don't get me started on that. Don't
With
get me
lower
started
league team
on that.
Players being chosen ahead of him.
Just because they play for one of the alleged big two.
And just ahead of asking our experts what they think the result's going to be at Pittodrie on Sunday afternoon, I think you might have a guess at Dave's. Let's see what you reckon on our weekly poll again via Aberdeen Mad, where we ask, will Celtic be there for the taking at Pittodrie? In recent weeks, they look like they've been starting to click for Ronnie Dyler, like there's been a gradual getting to know you going on, and now for the most part it's coming together. But a couple of injuries and still the odd surprise scoreline throwing itself up. And then there was a European game against Attra last night ending in a draw. Will there be tired legs and will it have any effect on the game? The two Daves, Galloway first. Are the Celtic side there for the taking of Pittodrie on Sunday?
Well, it's gone 74% yes, 26% no.
And your thoughts?
There you have it. My thoughts...
Not a scoreline, just are they there for the taking?
yes, I think they are. There's nothing to fear. Let's go out and have a go.
Dave Mack, not a scoreline, but just are they there for the taking?
I don't think it's a question of saying they're there for the taking. I think we can beat them because on our day we're as good as anybody. I think the circumstances mean that it's not ideal preparation, as I mentioned. But let's not kid ourselves. It's going to be a really, really difficult game.
Oh, it's going to be a very tough game. Of course,
everybody needs to play their part. The guy that encourages the crowd itself.
Yes, just the one that says, come on,
and we need and we need a strong referee as well. And it's just not disappointing.
Who is refereeing
Alan
the game?
Muir, which is...
have you placed in a call in advance?
Well, I seem to remember he had a bit of a nightmare the last time he refereed our game. But then
that's
again,
reassuring.
That's not exactly out of the ordinary.
We've got the clip that's starting the show next week then.
But, I think, you know, Willie Collum had our game on Monday and actually didn't have a bad game, I didn't think. Craig Thompson had the Celtic game last week, which I would have thought planning that one of those two you would probably, for this one, probably Craig Thompson would have been ideal, but he had Celtic last week, so it's Alan Muir, but he needs to be strong.
OK. Last of all, the score on Sunday afternoon. Dave Galloway, let's start with you.
Aberdeen 1, Celtic 0.
And, well, it's a popular scoreline for Dons in recent weeks.
2-0.
2-0? Okay, I'll say 2-1. Now, 2-1 at the weekend, let's hope. If you would like to be there, then here's your chance. Aberdeen versus Celtic is the swan song in a weekend of action. If you'd like to see it all unfolding live with us, all you have to do is answer this question correctly. The last time Celtic met Aberdeen at Pittodrie was last season in February on league duty. It was an evening game. The Dons ran out 2-1 victors. Name either scorer for Aberdeen on that occasion. The Dons last played Celtic at Pittodrie in league duty back in February when we won 2-1. Name either Aberdeen scorer on that occasion, and I can tell you that everyone who's got the right answer, and I don't think we've had any wrong answers yet, maybe one, but everyone that's got the right answer has plumped for the second scorer on that evening and the one that ended up being goal of the season. Not that I'm helping you any. Name either Aberdeen scorer on that occasion. Our number is Aberdeen 400-969. 01224 400-969. Good luck. A preview of all the other games in the Scottish Premiership coming up on Orto One's Friday Sport in moments.
North Sound 1, the official station of the Dons. Keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sport.
To the rest of the matches in the Scottish Premiership this weekend, the first of those is tonight when managerless Motherwell welcome league leaders Dundee United to Fir Park. For Stuart McCall, a week of reflection.
I've been there nearly 4 years and maybe it was just time for a change. I just felt hopefully it'll help the club out if they get a new voice and... I just felt it was time to step aside and hopefully, as I say, somebody else can come in and, you know, just get that confidence up and, you know, take it from there.
United boss, Jackie McNamara.
I expect a tough game. The manager's away, they'll come out fighting. It'll be a tough match that we have to make sure we compete with them, first and foremost, as we've done last Saturday. And I want us to play football.
Motherwell versus league leaders Dundee United. Dave.
My heart wants Motherwell to win, but I think you know that it's Kenny Black's taking them tonight with no replacement for Stuart McCaw. I really can't see them doing anything other than going down to a United side, so I'm going to go 2-0 Dundee United.
On to the Saturday matches, all at 3 o'clock again. I remember those days. The first of those is a Tayside derby when Dundee meets St Johnstone. Dundee boss Paul Hartley.
The players are in good mood this week. They should be feeling good about themselves. They're on a good run of form. We want to continue it. We want to make this place a hard venue to come to. And we really look forward to the game.
So Johnstone go back to winning ways last Friday night against Motherwell, and they'll be hoping to build on that this week. Saints Tommy Wright.
There's a wee bit of extra, you know, in their step this week. The biggest difference, you know, was the changing room after the game on a Friday night because you've won the game. So, we're pleased to 4 points at the last six and say that should give us confidence going into this game.
Tayside derby, Dundee versus St Johnstone, Dave Galloway.
Both sides full of confidence. I think home advantage will be the decisive factor. I'll go for a 2-1 win for the Dark Blues.
Inverness spent the briefest of periods at the top of the table, foregoing down 1-0 to Celtic last weekend. John Hughes hoping for better tomorrow, but expecting a tough time against Hamilton.
You know, but it's a long season, and if we've got aspirations to go and try and do what we did last year, or try and improve on that, then it's imperative and important that when we're at home, we're picking up the 3 points.
always love
how many points?
We've got to get a full length in-depth interview with John at some point. Hamilton could return to the top of the league as well if they beat Inverness, and provided results have gone their way in the Dundee United match the night before. Manager Alex Neil.
If you look at the three matches, one's a sort of quarter final at Aberdeen, which is a difficult place to go at the best of times. Dundee in the first half, we should have really been 2 or 3 nil up, And then against Partick Thistle, we were leading 2-0 as well. We made a few errors at the back and we got punished for it. So I think if you actually look at the games in isolation and break it down, there's not a whole lot to get carried away about.
I bet they were wishing their manager was in isolation after the game last week. Inverness versus Hamilton, Dave.
I fancy Inverness in this one. I think they'll win 1-0.
Do you think the bubbles burst a little bit for Hamilton?
I wouldn't go that far. I think, particularly at New Douglas Park, they're going to still be very, very difficult. Partick Thistle almost got there last week with the late goal to give Hamilton a 3-3. But no, I just think that I don't think they're going to be so spectacular as they were. I think they'll comfortably stay in the top flight this year, and they've done really great, and Alec Neil been named as manager of the month for October. Yep. Thoroughly deserved. Mm. So I do find Inverness at home are starting to come out as a wee bit of a fortress up there for them, and I fancy them tomorrow.
Now, coming up, four words I didn't expect to be using at any point in this campaign. Kilmarnock are going well. They're up against Ross County manager Alan Johnson cautioning against complacency.
The team's playing with a lot of confidence, but sometimes these are the hardest games when you're expected to win. If you think since Jim McIntyre's went in, they look really hard to beat, really difficult opponents, and we've got to be at our best to get a result.
Staggy's boss Jim McIntyre.
We know how difficult it will be. Kilmarnock have only lost one game at home, you know, which was incidentally last weekend, so they'll be smarting from that defeat. They've also got the new surface as well, so get a wee feel of it. Obviously it's a definite advantage for the home team.
Kilmarnock versus Ross County, Dave.
Yeah, Kilmarnock have been playing some good stuff. They've got some really talented players. They've been playing some attractive football. Ross County didn't do too badly against Aberdeen. I take Kilmarnock though to edge it 2-1.
The gap is 4 points with St Mirren in 10th and Partick Thistle in 9th. Tommy Craig could really use a win when the Jags are visitors in Paisley tomorrow afternoon. Partick, Stephen Lawless knows the problem for his side.
We need to be more neat, so it's just seeing out games that's really been the problem. So teams seem to do it against us. It's just like putting the ball in a corner and holding on to it and getting away with as much as you can during the last minute. So just a bit of neatness.
We need to be more neat, says Stephen Lawless.
Yep,
St Mirren versus Partick Thistle, Dave.
I think St Mirren have got a lot of injury problems, and they really are struggling, particularly at home. And I think I think Thistle might win this one reasonably comfortably. I'm going to go for St Mirren 1, Partick 3.
Into the Championship, where Alloa host Livingston. Hibs are at Cowdenbeath. Tabletoppers Hearts welcome Raith Rovers to Towncastle. Dumbarton are at Queen of the South, and Rangers take on Falkirk. Peterhead are at home to Dunfermline in Scottish League One following a cup exit to Stranraer at Balmoor last weekend. Blue Team boss Jim McAnally.
I think it's a historic game. It's the first ever league meeting at Peterhead between the two teams. And, I mean, obviously it's great to put yourself against a full-time team whenever that opportunity arises, you know, so we'll look forward to that on Saturday. It's we know how hard it's going to be, because although I'm saying fine margins in our league, I think between the part-time teams it's really, you know, it can hinge in, you know, one decision or whatever. But what we need to do is, against the full-time teams, you need to concentrate fully for 90 minutes. You need to be aware that they're maybe a wee bit sharper than you are. And so that's the test that you've got when you're playing the full-time teams. But, you know, if it comes down to football and we can concentrate on our football, then we should give them a good run for their money.
In the Highland League champions, Brora are at home to Rothes. Keith travel to Devon Vale. Forest Mechanics, meanwhile, host league leaders Wick Academy. Cove Rangers make the long journey to Fort William, probably over the course of most of this week. Huntly host Bucky Thistle. Inverurie Locos welcome Fraserburgh. Nairn are at Lossiemouth. Clach travel to Strathspey Thistle. And Steve Patterson's for Marty United are the guests of Ross Jack's Turriff.
They'll be probably slightly fresher than us. But, you know, we're in a decent run of form, so hopefully the momentum will make the boys feel good and ease any aches and pains they may have after the victory tonight. But I know there's one or two of them that are really running on empty, but the desire to play has been commendable.
Ross speaking to us there at a quieter moment in his mobile disco gig that evening. Aga don't. In the juniors, Dave.
In the juniors, it's a full league programme in the PMAC Group Super League. Bank City against New Elgin. Inverness City travel to Croon Bay. Cooter at home to Hall Russell United. Ellen against Dice. FC Stonewood there at Bankery St Tiernan. No doubt as to the game of the day, it's a rerun of the Girl League Cup final between top of the table Maud and Hermes, who have a 100% league record this season. Stonehaven take on Devon side. In the First Division East, Aberdeen University versus Bridge of Don Thistle. Glen Tanner travel to Buckenhaven Hearts. East End host Parkvale. Fraserburgh Peterborough United are at home to Lewes United. Colony Park go to Longside. Sunnybank against Newmacher United. In the First Division West, Bucky Rovers are home to Port Gordon Victoria. Burghead Thistle versus White Hills. Duffdown against Forest Thistle. Granton against Lossiemouth United. And finally, Isle of Ale welcome Spey Valley.
To England, where the four Premier League sides involved in Champions League action will feel they've got a point to prove following a disappointing midweek in Europe. Not more so than Liverpool, who take on leaders Chelsea tomorrow lunchtime. George Alderman reports for North and One's Friday Sport.
Liverpool boss Brendan Rodgers will discover if leaving first-team players out of their Champions League trip to Real Madrid was worth it. The likes of Steven Gerrard and Raheem Sterling are expected to return to the starting 11 for their encounter with Chelsea at Anfield. Rodgers knows they're in for a difficult afternoon.
It'll be a tough game for us. They're obviously unbeaten and the strongest team at the moment in the league. That's why they're top. So, but for us playing at Anfield, no matter who the opponent, you know, we have every confidence that we can go on and get a good result.
The corresponding fixture last season saw Chelsea all but end Liverpool's title hopes. Steven Gerrard's now infamous slip contributed to a 2-0 win for Jose Mourinho's side. But the Chelsea manager doesn't think a similar mistake will be quite so costly.
I think it's not because of a distance of 4, 5, 6 or 7 points or 8 or 10 that in the beginning of November put somebody out of the race.
Champions Manchester City go to QPR hoping to bounce back from their surprise loss to CSKA Moscow in the Champions League. Rangers boss Harry Redknapp senses an opportunity.
It's not the worst time to play them. You know, at the moment, they're not in that sparkling form that they have been in, and they will get back to that, I'm sure, at some stage. But at the moment, they're not playing with the same freedom and flair as they were 6 weeks ago.
Southampton know they'll hold on to second place if they can beat Leicester, while West Ham could climb back into the top four with a win over Aston Villa. Burnley continue their search for their first 3 points of the season when they meet Hull. Manchester United play Crystal Palace. On Sunday, Everton face a trip to Sunderland. Tottenham host Stoke and West Brom go up against Newcastle. Arsenal's clash with Swansea rounds off the weekend's action.
Briefly in rugby, and Aberdeen Cranmer trounced Tilhead Jordan Hill 64 points to 3 at Rubers Law last Saturday. Tomorrow they make the short trip to Dundee to face Dundee High School former pupils. Head coach Stuart Corson.
Yeah, everyone's very happy after the result. Also good to get 10 tries in any game, and yeah, it was some good players, some good performances from some of the boys as well.
So you'll be looking to take that high confidence into the visit to Dundee High tomorrow?
Oh, definitely. It'll be a hard trip going away down there, and Dundee are always a tough team, especially being a local derby. So, and we're competing for the Allardyce Trophy as well, so we want to be coming away with a bit of silverware.
In our competition tonight, we asked this. The last time Celtic met Aberdeen at Pittodrie was last season in February when the Dons ran out 2-1 victors. Name either scorer for the Dons that day. You could have gone with either Adam Rooney, who scored the first, or Johnny Hayes. And I wouldn't bet against either scoring on Sunday. Well done to, let's see, pick a number between 1 and 18,507, Dave.
Eight.
Thanks, that's helpful. Ian McIntosh, well done. You got a pair of tickets. You're off to watch the game on us. See you there. And as for our weekend coverage, Dave?
Well, Jim's on holiday, so
is he?
So he's not at Peterhead tomorrow, but obviously Gossip and Goals will be looking at getting all the updates. And, of course, on North Sound 2, you can get full updates of all the SPL FL games that are going ahead at 3 o'clock.
Game on.
But of course, talking of game on Sunday, 12:30, the two of us and Andrew Shiney will be at Pittodrie for that Celtic game. Full commentary over on Red TV and updates here on North Sound 1.
I'm not saying Andrew's keen, but apparently he's already there at the back of the stand.
He's just testing the mics now.
He's there writing his stats.
Now, Sunday as well also sees the start of the... It's the top eight, isn't it?
It is.
In the end of season tennis at the O2. Andy Murray made it.
Yes, he did, and he's the first singles on as well.
Who's he playing?
Kai Nishikuri.
God bless you.
Thank you. You're welcome. So, hard one. He did well. He ended up comfortably making it, particularly with the withdrawal of Rafa Nadal. But Djokovic, he's in a different group from Djokovic, which but he's in the same group as Federer. So, you know, I would expect he'll get through. He'll win it against Nishikori, but Federer obviously loves it, and Federer has a huge following at the O2 as well. every year.
And Andy probably doesn't this particular year.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the post-referendum reaction of the public down there. But I think he will get an absolute fantastic reaction. That's it from Friday Sport for this week.